Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I'm sitting here with Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
I am so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Because otherwise we'd be by ourselves. I'd be by myself.
You would.
And so
that would be terrible.
And then it'd be like I'm just talking to Bess.
A monologue.
Bess. Hi, Bess. Just talking to my wife and nobody else.
Yes.
So I'm glad you're here, because Ziggy's not. He's out.
I understand that.
Which is kind of sad, I guess. I don't know.
Actually,
you know?
Kind of funny.
Is it funny? Well,
yeah.
Where he is kind of interesting.
Considering what he's doing.
Yeah, that's... You know, it's unique. I'll say Ziggy is the most unique person I know.
Yes.
And so the fact that he's at Rodeo Clown School.
Probably teaching it by now.
He's been there so many times now, and it's a regular summer routine
this
for him.
This is barrel week, isn't it?
You know, it might be barrel
teaching
week.
How to jump in
I don't know if I could do that, you know.
I would pay to see
Do they still have the suspenders on the barrels like they did? I don't know. I just, you know, we wish him well.
We do.
And I'm sure he's going to come back, you know, hopefully not too many bumps and bruises.
Exactly.
So we'll have to see how that we miss him.
I want to see the video.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be some good stuff.
Yes.
But here we are.
Yes.
And it's Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Now, when you go to Mass, the church wants us to remember that Father's Day is a secular holiday.
Mm-hmm.
So typically at Mass, there'll be like a blessing for fathers or something, because it's a big day for dads.
Yeah.
And for families, they'll have they usually have some kind of breakfast, brunch, lunch, dinner, something, you know, some kind of event for dad. Maybe
you get your gift. Socks.
Socks and or a tie.
Yep.
Is typical. So that's a big day, but we're not really supposed to kind of...
make a big deal out of a Mass.
Like, you're not supposed to be preaching about Father's Day. Mm-hmm. But I always, sometimes deacons will preach on Father's Day. A lot of times priests will recognize that deacons... typically have families, they're married.
I hear the rule breaker in you getting ready to come out.
Well, why? How so?
You're going to preach on Father's Day when typically they don't.
Well, yeah, but no, I'm not going to preach about Father's Day.
Okay.
But I'm going to preach about Father's Day.
Gotcha. So
I'm going to find a way to weave fathers into
the
story.
Rules. There you go.
I don't know if I'm breaking the rules or I'm just using the rules to my advantage.
Hey, well, you know, there's a loophole in everything.
Yeah, so we will. Now, I do want to say that I like it when priests preach on Father's Day, because they're fathers too.
They are.
That's why we call them Father.
I know.
And there's this beautiful theology of God the Father, mm-hmm. right? And then being a model for our human fathers,
mm-hmm.
and our human fathers in these two categories. There's the sort of, we'll say biological, but I'll just say family fathers, because adoptive fathers are also fathers, just like any other father, right, in a lot of ways. And so the same model applies to human fathers in a family way, but then also our spiritual fathers, our priests.
Mm-hmm.
And so happy Father's Day to your priest.
Absolutely.
Right, because he's a father. He's a father of many degenerate children.
I'm telling you, man, I would not want that gig. That's a tough gig.
It is. It can be a tough gig. And so that's why it's like I think that... we just need to be kind to our priests on Father's
Day.
But so as we encounter Father's Day, I wanted to use this as an opportunity because the Catholic Cafe, this is not Mass. So
no. So
if we want to talk about fathers and Father's Day, we can.
There you go.
From a spiritual context. And so that's what we're going to do. And I think that I love this idea, the theology, and it really comes through the church. The theology that... that God the Father is the model, right? So we've talked before on this show that the Trinity, mm-hmm. right, that Trinitarian love is the model for all creation, mm-hmm. for all things. Father loves the Son loves the Father with such intensity that in all eternity spirates eternally the Holy Spirit. Like mm-hmm. it bears fruit, that love that bears fruit. And that's the model we use for all kinds of things in creation, whether it's the communal processes like talking and listening equals communication, not equals, but spirates or bears the fruit of communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the love of the husband for the wife and the wife for the husband spirates or bears the fruit of children,
mm-hmm.
And love and life and happiness and all that kind of stuff. So there's that model, but in terms of the Father and fatherhood, mm-hmm. right? What I love about God the Father when it comes to being like a dad from a dad's perspective is that my kids' first experience of God the Father is through me. Mm-hmm. I mean, when they're little, they look at you like you're a god. I imagine people still, you know, your kids still look at you, Tom, as if you were a god. No, you know, don't. Like one of those small g gods. One of the gods, you know, like a Roman god or a Greek god.
I know you know they don't.
Yeah, well, we all wish they did, but they don't. But there is sort of a godly, there should be a godly aspect to your fatherhood as a, mm-hmm. as their father. Mm-hmm. You know, they should look at you, and they should see God the Father, right? That's how they know God the Father. That's how they know God exists, because there is somebody mm-hmm. that loves them beyond all love. There's somebody that is all powerful. There's somebody who is ever present. There's somebody, you know, who is one who they can count on and look to and be guided by, and also one who will provide for them, and one that will. Reprimand them or hold them to account, correct them, put them on the right path, mm-hmm. you know, and so that's those are all good qualities. And that's why I think that if we live in a world that starts to eschew religion and starts to push theology out the door and say that's tired old stuff, mm-hmm. now and we need in our new atheistic society that we just need to basically be good people and things like that, we lose something in that.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't realize, I think, that we lose something when we take God out of the picture. I mean, I know that we're preaching to the choir. I know that mm-hmm. people listening to this show already know it's like God exists and God is good and all those things. But we're talking, we have people in our family who don't believe in God. Mm-hmm. And at the very least are practical atheists.
Yep.
Where they may go to church with you and show up and sit in your pew with you, but they're not living
that
life.
In.
No, they're not living that life.
Right.
So I wanted to go through and maybe talk about some of the qualities of God the Father.
Yeah.
And then how we exhibit them mm-hmm. in our own lives.
Okay.
And so be thinking of ways in which like this happens in your family.
Okay.
So one of the things I wanted to first talk about is just the concept of unconditional love. Mm-hmm. You and I did a show about kids and making sure our kids, if there's anything that we do on this earth, is our kids need to know that we love them beyond all love.
Unconditional love.
Unconditionally. Mm-hmm. That they don't have to they don't have to fall into lockstep. They don't have to vote a certain way. They don't have to do a certain thing. Just by very nature that they are our kids. And I'm talking about kids that are our kids in DNA, but also our kids in adoption or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you're a father figure to somebody, maybe at work, mm-hmm. you've taken somebody under your wing, like unconditional love for these children. Mm-hmm. They need to know that we would die for them.
You think yours know that?
You know what I tell them? I hope they believe it. I think most of them do. I really do that. I think they do. You know, they're going to hear this conversation when we're dead.
Yeah.
Because they're going to go back and go like, I never listened to Dad enough.
Should have had that conversation while he was alive.
Let's listen to 900 episodes of the Catholic Cafe, and let me get to know my dad better. You know, and they're going to hear this, and they're going to, and I'm hoping they're going to say, yeah, I do. I do know you love me, Dad, no matter what.
Yeah.
And maybe I don't deserve it or didn't deserve it, and I did all these things, but thing is, you did. I hope my kids believe that.
Yeah.
You know? I tell them all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I think it's important that we do. I mean, we drop the L word all the time.
Same here.
Yeah, I love you. Love you, man. Just want you to know I love you.
Yep.
Right? Getting off the phone when they're leaving the house.
Yep.
You know? And my kids have started saying it back.
So, I'm sorry. Am I interrupting?
No.
So one of the things that my kids do say it back occasionally. I've got one, though, that just, he can't say it. It's so funny. He tries to say it, but he can't. He's like, oh, you, like, yeah. Really, it just goes by really quickly. And it's like, just, all right, I hear you.
He's working on it.
Yeah, he's getting there.
You know, he's working on it.
Yeah.
And I think that that'll eventually come because they just have to be comfortable. Because a lot of times guys aren't comfortable, especially.
Right.
That must be a man. Must be a boy.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. Because men, we struggle. You know.
Right.
I still remember, like, as a younger man, not wanting to do the sign of the cross before I blessed my meal.
Right.
You know, at a restaurant, and then I realized one day it's like, why do I care? Yeah. That other people know that I have some kind of faith. Why am I hiding that? And the same
probably
thing.
Probably afraid of getting some kind of flack
or
in the back of your mind.
I don't know. I think I was just embarrassed because it's goofy.
Yeah.
I think I was taught to believe it was goofy by society.
Yeah.
That it's goofy to be vulnerable and to be like that, you know? And I think people feel like there's a sign of weakness in saying, I love you. And I actually think it's the greatest strength a man can have.
Totally.
You know, and because it's God the Father's strength, it's unconditional love.
That's exactly right.
And you know, we get tested, right? You get tested all the time.
Oh yeah,
I get tested. I remember I love my kids no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I love my kids no matter the fact that I got woke up in the middle of the night by my son calling me and say, "Dad, I need our insurance information." And there's only one reason you made me, you know, he's driving my car. And
something's
it wasn't bad that
up.
He was out. He was doing something I knew was happening or whatever. And he's, mm-hmm. I don't know, he was like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning on the way home, whatever. He was getting a speeding ticket. And so I said, all right. So I sent him my little Geico card, you know, and made sure he had it, how to log in. So he got it. I said, and so then he calls me back a few minutes later. He goes, okay, Dad, it's all good. The officer only gave me a citation.
That's funny.
He only gave me a citation. I said, you know, son, that's actually a ticket. What do you mean? Like, let me ask you this. Does the citation have a gold star, like, sticker on it? No. Okay, it's a ticket. They hear the word citation, and they think that means, like, I got a citation.
Like a slap on the wrist.
No, a citation to them is like they thought they got
an
award.
Or something, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, we offer the town hall is giving you a citation for greatest citizen or something. It's like, no, son, it wasn't because you're a good driver. We love them even though they make goofy mistakes.
Yeah, they're learning.
And they're learning and growing up and learning things. So there was another time that, like, I had to replace the parking brake on our van.
I know that you're leaving the names out, which
that's
great.
It's a smart move.
Yeah.
They'll know who they are when when I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what are they going to do about it?
This is one of those family lore things.
Drove my van with the parking brake on. And, you know, and it's like, man, it won't go. So obviously the answer is to push the pedal harder and go into where it's like you're driving and all of a sudden there's
smooth smooth out. Yeah,
it'll smooth
out after, you know, 20 miles.
Yeah, after a while. And it's like, what is that rubber smell? You know, the burnt rubber smell. That would be our parking brake that
it's
no
gone
longer
now.
Works.
Okay, it's gone now. I got out from behind whoever's...
But we love them.
Yeah.
Because we love... It's like, I think back... For me, it's easier for me because I think back of the dumb things I did as
a
kid.
You know, this is God looking at us, too.
Yes.
He's going to learn. Just let let him go.
Yep,
he's fine. Let him go.
So there's another quality, about God the Father, and that is his transcendent presence, right? Where he's like essentially omniscient. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Not omniscient. He's everywhere. He's
omnipresent.
That's the word I'm looking for. You know, he's everywhere. And I think about like as being a dad.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to be everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And I've always got to be available for the kids. And, you know, this one isn't really a funny story so much as the reality with 9 kids, 6 sons, all of them were in Boy Scouts. All of them went through Scouts. And what that meant was I noticed, like, with my oldest son, Jeffrey, I noticed that, like, I went, it's like, hey, it's summer camp, you know, and it's a week in June. It's hot. It's muggy. It's nasty. It's like tick infested, chigger infested, whatever. Going to Kai Kima, and which is a fine place, but it's hot and humid, and muggy, and whatever. And it's camping for a week, and it's like I noticed that like other dads were showing up, and they would drop the kid off, and then they would hightail it out of there. And then we'd come back and pick them up on the last day. And I noticed when they picked them up on the last day how they were, like, all showered and shaved, and they looked all fresh and had a fresh set of clothes. And I'm, like, I'm looking like a train wreck.
Yeah.
You know, like I
You're
slept
looking like
in.
One of the kids.
Yeah, exactly. And it was, like,
Feeling
a pretty
like
grody
a
thing. But you know what? I think my kids – I decided that on that first time, I'm going and I'm staying the whole week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be one of those dads. Now, I had a job where I could work around my schedule. I could take vacation. I could make sure. And that's what I did. And so for 19 years in a row, I went to summer camp. 19 years with all my boys, every one of them. Sometimes I had three boys there, sometimes just one. And the thing is, it's just something I devoted myself. And I know that I can't, like God, I can't be everywhere at all times, but I can be there. And I can be as many places as I want to. And sometimes I'm a taxi service.
Oh, yeah.
You do the same thing. I'm dropping people off and
even to
juggle schedule.
Day, we're doing it.
They might take that for granted. They might not realize that. But there's a point in their lives, in your child's life, when they will realize, wait, Dad did this all the time.
Exactly.
And maybe they're doing it for their own kid.
Yeah.
And they're not going like, yeah, I wish my dad had done that. Well, I want to put myself out there and at least make myself present to, you know, my boys at summer camp.
So just out of curiosity, when you got to the end of that 19th year, did it end because it was over, that your son had...
There was no more summer camps for my kids.
So it wasn't because your body just said, okay, I can't do it anymore.
I'm done. No, yeah. I didn't do that. In fact,
you had a couple of close calls where you're like, man, I just can't do this.
Yeah, there's a reality at some point in time. When I went to a high adventure camp called Philmont.
Yeah.
In Cimarron, New Mexico. And I'm going to be honest with you. We did a show. I did a show.
I remember.
And I almost died like 17 times. I mean, it was awful. But you know what? I went with my kids.
Right.
I had two boys with me at that time.
Yeah.
And it was my opportunity to go. And so I went. I showed up.
Yeah.
So dads need to show up.
Yep.
Okay. So another quality of God, the Father, and I mentioned it, I said it wrongly before, but it's omniscient. Mm-hmm. All-knowing. Mm-hmm. God knows everything. Mm-hmm. And as a dad, you need to know everything. You need to be aware. You need to study up. You need to know what's going on in your kids' lives. Yeah. You know, not only just to be present in there, but you need to kind of know. Don't be oblivious. Don't sit there reading a newspaper like from the 1950s in your Lazy Boy.
Right.
Right, with your slippers on, you know, with the news on or whatever. Just
need to be engaged.
Exactly. And you need the kids to feel like, so, and you're not like this fountain of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know that I am. And
you
I'm
are.
Sure you are too, a fountain
yeah.
of wisdom. But you don't.
Not really. You
but
are.
But you don't talk about it. You don't say it like, you need to listen to me because I'm the authority here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I'm talking about. But you need to always be available. And if you help raise your child, especially a son, if you help raise your child in a way where you respect them, you show them respect, but at the same time you help them see the knowledge that's out there and how knowledge is in this world, knowledge is power in a lot of ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
It helps you get through, like being knowledgeable is good,
mm-hmm.
right? It's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, knowledge of God. And so if you do that, and they trust you. If you build a degree of trust, I mean, I just got a call a month ago from my son. I'll just say this one's Nicholas. It was a good call. He called me up and he's like, "Dad, I need your dad wisdom. I'm looking at refinancing my house. Should I refinance it? Should I whatever?" Now I'm not an expert at all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but we talked about a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
that related to that. But I marveled when I hung up the phone. I marveled that it's like, okay, I've got a good relationship with my son because he's willing to ask me because I'm here. He
right.
knows I'm present. He knows I'm available. And he knows I know things.
Yeah.
And he wants to ask me. So he's not going like, look, I'm 18. I don't need your authority. I don't need your advice. I don't need anything anymore.
Right.
I don't want to have that relationship.
Yeah.
And God doesn't have that relationship with us.
Mm-mm.
God the Father does not have that relationship. He is always. And we can deny him and he'll deny us. But if we're unfaithful to him, he will always remain faithful to us. Because he cannot deny who he is.
Yeah, Nick is a new dad too, isn't he?
He is, yes.
Yeah.
Our grandson, Joey.
Yeah, happy Father's Day.
Yeah, awesome. Happy Father's Day, Nicholas. What a great gift he's given to his grandparents.
Absolutely.
Little Joey's grandparents.
Absolutely.
You know, a grandchild's always great. So I got three now.
It's awesome.
And we're just hoping the floodgates open soon.
Yeah.
You know, so anyway, all that said, and I have lots of love for my kids, but also for my grandkids in a very
yep.
special way.
Yep.
So another quality of God the Father,
mm-hmm.
and that is almighty. God is almighty. Our God is a mighty God. You know, he's an awesome God. He's mighty. He's and mighty and Lord
how,
is.
How do we emulate that?
By being strong.
Yeah.
You know, as dads, right? we emulate that because we need to be strong. We need to we need to get through things. We need to show our kids that there's that if you put a strong, firm step forward, you can get through anything. And you get, and also to be vulnerable and to love the Father, God the Father, mm-hmm. to have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you live that life and your kids see that, they see a strength in you. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful thing. So being strong and doing whatever it takes, mm-hmm. whatever is required, mm-hmm. and that's what you're going to do. Another quality is being a provider. Like being a provider.
I know that one.
Yeah, we all do. And I'm going to add a caveat. Being a provider without complaining.
Okay.
Yeah. Because how many times...
Which is hard to do.
My kids are wearing me out because blah, blah, blah. And they need this. They're always asking for money. Oh, yeah. Suppose you want some money. And we joke about it. But at the end of the day, we're sending a signal to them that, like, it's not good to ask for things.
Right.
Now, we want to teach them responsibility with money and how to earn money and help them understand. So, you know, things like that. But our job is to provide for them. Our job is to get our kids to heaven. Yeah. After we get ourselves to heaven and our spouses to heaven, getting our kids is the next thing on the task list. Mm-hmm. And so being a provider, and not complaining about it.
Yeah.
I do this because I love you, son. I would do this no matter what you need, I will get you.
Yeah.
I will figure out how, and I will take the financial hit.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not sitting there just pouring out money and have my pockets out and saying, like, y'all take whatever you see. I don't know. I don't care. Mm-hmm. It's not that. But at the end of the day, my job is to provide, not just the money, but the food, the shelter, protection.
Yeah.
You know, protection in my in the household, but like in their environments, what schools they go to. And that's my responsibility.
Yeah.
Right. And they will see, again, this is how they're going to see God, the Father. Mm-hmm. It's like, if my dad does this, then obviously God, the Father, that's why God revealed himself as a father. I just hope one day my kids realize that
connection.
Yeah. Because, that's where it's like, it's important for them to understand. This is how you can teach them about God, by literally trying to be like God mm-hmm. with them. Mm-hmm. So that unconditional love, that sort of transcendent or omnipresent, mm-hmm. you know, being everywhere at once, you know, being almighty and strong, being omniscient mm-hmm. and all-knowing, being a provider. There's one other one I want to add here, one other one, and that is like our God is one. Like God the Father is one. There's one God, mm-hmm. right? One God, three persons in the Trinity. But one God, there's one. Well, you're one dad. You're the guy. Mm-hmm. Fathers, you are the guy. You are the man. You are the father. Mm-hmm. And you need to be the father. You don't need to rely on other fathers. And you don't need to say, well, my child has many fathers. And we have bonus dads. And it's like, no, you are the guy.
Right.
God gave you that role. And you need to live that role. Mm-hmm. Right? And because we have one father in heaven. Mm-hmm. Right? One Lord of all. And that's... I mean, Jesus tells us about his father and never says like, well, you know, there's many different types of fathers out there. No, what we're saying is take ownership of the fatherhood role.
Yep.
See, this is what's going to change the world. This is the stuff that I think people understand.
Fathers and families.
Yeah, fathers and families. And the good news is because we're all perfect, we can all do this, right?
No, we're not perfect. Oh, yeah. So pause it.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Oh, okay.
No, we're not pausing, man. We're all perfect, right? No, we can all become fathers.
Yeah, no.
We all can be the best father.
No,
out there.
Where my brain goes to with all this is just imperfection. I think a lot of us get caught up in. At least I get caught up in. You know, I'm not that perfect father. How do I become that perfect father? It's pretty impossible.
Tom, you should be more like me.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I know.
None of us. We're all in that boat.
Right.
Think about it. We're all imperfect.
Yeah.
Right. Except we're called by God to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. We're called to that.
Yeah.
And we have this ideal. We have this model. We have this image. We have this Father to model our behavior after. But here's what the cool thing is, right? To me, the way I see it is, in our weakness, it's our greatest strength. Because in our weakness, we turn to God the Father. Mm-hmm. And so what our kids will see is, like, where does Dad get this? And then ultimately they will see we get it from God the Father.
Yeah.
And so God fills us. He gives us every strength. He gives us everything that we need. Because you're right. We are imperfect. Mm-hmm. We can't live up to this. Now, this is why it's problematic if we live a practical atheist life. If we divorce ourselves from God, mm-hmm. from any kind of theology or religion, this is where we're going to get into trouble. Mm-hmm. Right? Because we don't have that. We can't do it ourselves.
Right.
And we're going to fail. Look at the world right now. Yeah. Look at the families where there's no father in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Right? If you know, it's not what God intended. Mm-hmm. And I know there's tragedies that happen sometimes, you know, a father will die or something like that. Those are bad, bad situations. But it's not what, you know, God intended. It's not what we do. But if we look at a normal, you know, typical married life with a mother and a father and a family with kids, right, that dad's there. And yeah, he struggles sometimes because he's a human being and he fails at certain tasks. But God fills him. He just turns to God the Father, and he fills him with strength. He goes to confession. He goes to communion. He listens to the Word of God. He pays attention to the homily. He lives his life. He makes sure he goes to Mass every Sunday. And the kids see this, and they realize, Dad is getting this superhuman strength from somewhere other than himself.
Yeah.
And that's the vulnerability we need to be willing to accept as fathers. And realize we're not doing it on our own strength. God gives us the strength we need.
Amen.
And that's what we're called to do. And so that's why, you know, really, happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. To you know, and you know, wives, love your husbands,
yeah.
Right? They, you know, we gave you flowers on Mother's Day. You don't have to give us a tie or socks. Just love us.
Right.
Right? Support us. Help us. Be the best dads that we can be. Happy Father's Day to everybody who's listening. And most assuredly, come to know God the Father in your life. And good things are going to happen. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.